Psalms chapter 122. Psalms chapter 122. We're going to look at all eight verses, and there's several subjects that you could talk about here from this portion of Scripture. But we're going to look this evening at joy in the house of the Lord. Joy in the house of the Lord. David is the author of the psalm. It's another song or a psalm of degrees or songs of ascents, just like we looked at last week. In the previous chapter, chapter 121, they were headed up to Jerusalem. His eyes were lifted up to the hills from whence cometh his help. And we're going to be talking again about Jerusalem in this chapter. And David is the author, and he says that he was glad when he went into the house of the Lord. He was glad when he went into the house of the Lord. Now, his house of the Lord is a little bit different idea than what ours is. Our house of the Lord, of course, God dwells within every believer. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they were going to Jerusalem, and they were going to the temple to worship there. And we're going to apply that to us here as we come to church. That's going to be the application. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And so that's what we're going to apply it to this evening. We're going to read all nine verses. Let's start in verse number one. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your blessings toward us. Lord, we thank you for being good and kind and gracious to us. Lord, we're thankful that we are saved. We're thankful that we have the Bible. We're thankful that we have friends and family and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us so much, Lord. We pray that you would bless us again this evening, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be attentive to your word. We pray that you would open up hearts and open up minds and ears so that we can hear what you have to say from your word. I pray that you'd help me to speak what needs to be said and to forget anything that doesn't need to be said. And I'll thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to look at whether the house of God, whether coming to church is a source of joy for you. Are you glad to be in the house of God? David was glad to be in the house of the Lord. What attitude or what spirit do you bring to church with you? Because each and every one of us, we are going to bring some kind of attitude or some kind of spirit with us when we walk through the door. It might be sadness, it might be happiness, it might be anger or strife or bitterness or something that's on your heart. And I hope that church is not the source of that bitterness, if you have that. I don't feel that in our congregation. I believe that everyone pretty much has a good attitude, but at times, we can come to church and not have the right kind of spirit or the right kind of attitude when we come to church, and that's the most important thing, I would say, is your attitude that you bring to church when you come. You know, it's good that you would come to church. It's good that you attend, but your heart position or your heart attitude is even more important than that. You know, you can do a lot of damage and a lot of harm by having the wrong kind of attitude or the wrong kind of spirit about yourself around someone else. You can be a bad influence on someone. You can rub somebody the wrong way. You can hinder someone from something that they could get out of the service if you bring the wrong kind of attitude to church. Are you glad that you're here? Is there anticipation during the week that, boy, I get to go to church this week? We got church coming up on Sunday, and man, I'm excited to go. J.C. Ryle, he was a preacher from long ago. I heard he was personal friends with C.H. Spurgeon, but he said, "It must not content us to take our bodies to church if we leave our hearts at home." He's saying the most important thing is, what's your heart attitude when you come to church? David, when he wrote this psalm, says, man, I'm glad that I get to come to the house of God. I'm glad that I get to come to Jerusalem, and I get to be with the people of God, and I get to be with family and with friends. He says, man, I'm glad. And this is another psalm of ascents or degrees. They're going up. It says in verse number 4, it says that Israel is headed up to the house of God. It says, whether the tribes of Israel go up. Anytime that you were going to Jerusalem, you were headed up, because Jerusalem was built upon a high place, and that's where Jerusalem was. And so David is going up to worship the Lord. I believe that worship for a Christian ought to be a high thing. I believe that it ought to be something that is very sacred to us, and that we really pay attention, and it really means a lot to us when we come to church, because we're coming here not for entertainment, but we're coming here for the God of the universe. We're coming here for the Lord. And it ought to be something that is very high and sacred to us. I believe that when we meet together, everything that is done in song and word ought to provoke high thoughts of God. Whenever we sing songs, and whenever I preach or Dad preaches or we say something, man, I want you to have thoughts of God that are very high and noble of God. I don't think that we can uplift or exalt God too much. And I'm sure that me in myself, in my own humanity, in my own meager way of trying to exalt God or the Bible or Jesus Christ, I'm sure that I fall short. And I know that I can do better, but I want us to have high thoughts when we come to church and worship the Lord. I would that our worship would never drop to the level of worldly entertainment, because we're around that all the time in the world. And I believe that it is, that our worship is God exalting and Christ exalting. You know, we live out in this world, and there's sin and there's decay and there's ungodliness, and the world hates God, and the world belittles God and begrudges God, and they ignore His word, and they defy His word. And then we come to this place, it ought to be something that's different and better than what we're getting out there in the world. It ought to be a high thing. And for a Jew in Jerusalem, boy, that was a special thing for them to go to the temple and to worship God. It wasn't something that was just, you know, oh well, we're going today. No, they knew that the Word of God was going to be publicly read and preached to them and proclaimed to them, and they counted it as something very, very significant. And that's the way that it ought to be for us here today. We ought to have high thoughts of God when we come. But I want you to notice the attitude of the psalmist as he goes into the house of God. Number one, there's gladness. And that's in verse number 1. David says, I'm glad that I get to go into the house of God. Man, it's a source of joy for me. He said in verse number 4 that there was thanksgiving. Boy, he's thankful that he gets to go to the house of God and be around the people of God. He has an attitude of thanksgiving. Verse number 6, there's an attitude of prayer as well. They're praying to God as they go into the temple of God. There's love in verse number 6. And then verse number 9, they are seeking God. That's the kind of attitude that David had as he goes into the house of God. What kind of attitude do you bring to the house of God? Is it an attitude of joy? Is it an attitude of thanksgiving, like, thank God we get to go to the house of God? This evening, I want to look at three sources of joy for the Christian at the house of God. What's going to make us joyful in the house of God? What's a source of joy for us? Why do we come and why does it bring joy to us? Well, the first thing is the people of God. The people of God ought to be a source of joy to us as we come here. Number two, the preaching of the Word of God. That's the second thing. And then number three is the Prince of Peace. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the house of God, those three things ought to be a source of joy to us and put a smile on our face, and we ought to be glad that we get to come here. Number one, the people of God, the gathering of the people of God ought to be a source of joy and comfort when we come here. Are you glad that you get to come here and see one another as we come and assemble together? Boy, you're glad about that. David was. He says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. He says, man, there's a good group, a good gathering there. And he says, man, I was glad about that because I get to see other people, my fellow brothers and sisters and my family. He says again in verse number 2, our feet shall stand within thy gates. There's a gathering there. And then again in verse 3 and 4, David says, Jerusalem as a city is that is compacted together. It's compacted together. That means it's close together. So there's a tight-knit community within Jerusalem, and that brings joy to David. He says, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. You know, the word tribes brings up a connotation of togetherness and unity with one another. And so David says, man, what brings me joy when I come to the house of God, when I go to Jerusalem, is that there's going to be family there, there's going to be friends there, there's going to be brothers and sisters there. Hey, man, that's a source of joy for me. How about in our weekly meetings as we come together? Is your brothers and sisters in Christ, is that a source of joy for you? Are you glad to come and see one another and say, hey, I get to see my brothers and sisters in Christ? Man, that's a source of joy. More, we're out in this world all week and we are with people, but yet we get to come together with people of like faith and like-minded and come together and find some relief and find some exhortation and find some encouragement with one another. Amen. Is that a source of joy for you? I once read a story here just a little bit ago about a ship that was out on the sea, and they were out in a ship, and they were in a storm, and they became shipwrecked on an island, and they hit the island and they crashed their boat and they didn't know what to do, and they thought, man, I hope there's not any cannibals on this island right here. Well, they were afraid, and so they said, well, we're going to send one guy out and he's going to go and he's going to check out the island and see what's on this island right here. And so the guy went forward and he went into the island and he went up over the hill and he looked over the hill and he saw a church right there as he looked down in the valley. Boy, his face lit up and he looked back towards his shipmates. He looked back and said, come on, boys, there's a church down here. It's okay. You know why? He knew there weren't going to be no cannibals around there because there was a church there. It brought up feelings of comfort and feelings of safety whenever he saw that church right there. What do you want people to see whenever they see Grace Fellowship Baptist Church? Do you want them to see comfort? Do you want them to think of comfort and help? Do you want them to think, hey, boy, there's a place where I can find some help. There's a place where I can find some compassionate people. There's a place where I can find some grace and some mercy. There's a place right there where I can find some truth. There's a place right there where I know that the people are good there and that they'll treat me right. Whenever they see the members of Grace Fellowship Baptist Church, what do they see? What do they think of? What comes into their mind? Because when they think of our church, they're going to think of something. And whatever you're putting out there or whatever I'm putting out there is what's going to come into their mind.
Are they going to have good thoughts whenever they think of this church, whenever they think of you, and they think, yeah, they're a part of that Grace Fellowship Baptist Church over there. I know where they're at. I've heard about them. Yeah, okay, yeah. Does that bring up joy in their mind? Does that bring up comfort in their mind? Boy, those people, boy, they really love each other down there. There's lots of love there. There's lots of compassion there with those people. Is that what they're going to think? Are they going to think, well, you know, I don't know, man. There's people down there that don't really like each other, and maybe they're kind of fighting all the time, and, you know, I don't know if I want to go there or not. But when they come to our church or they think of our church, I want them to have that, and you ought to too, that kind of thoughts coming up in their minds. Like, man, the love that is coming from those people, man, I want to be a part of that. That's a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Did you know that the disciples of the Lord were known for their loving one another? Jesus Christ himself said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another." If there is love between Christians, that's how the world's going to know who you are and who I am. And that's the kind of picture that we ought to be putting out to people about ourselves. The church ought not to be a place where there's fighting and bitterness and arguing and all kinds of that. I don't think that there's any of that here, but it ought not to be. Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, he says, "You've been called unto liberty, only don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh." He said, hey, don't be tearing one another down and insulting one another and fighting with one another. Just because you have liberty in Christ doesn't mean that you ought to do everything that you want to do. He says, but by love, serve one another. That's how Christians ought to be, serving one another in love. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Christians ought not to be spiritual cannibals. Whenever people look at our church, they go, man, there's love coming from that place and from those people. Is that what they're going to see when they look at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church? Hey, it ought to be a source of joy whenever we come together. There shouldn't be a dread like, oh man, I got to see that person again. They're going to be there. Man, you know, I don't feel that there, but boy, we can always be on our guard for how that we treat one another. Hey, when we come together, you know what it is? We're here to encourage one another. Because we live in a crummy world. We live in a world that is sin cursed, and we're out there all the time in it. I work out there 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And then we come to this place, and we are here to assemble together to encourage and exhort one another to do right and live right and be holy. And whenever we see one another gathered here together, you know what it does for me? It encourages me, like, hey man, these people are serious about their Christianity. They want to do right. They want to hear preaching. They want to be an encouragement to one another. Paul the Apostle says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? But encouraging one another and exhorting one another. Hey, I don't want you to leave the faith. I don't want you to go out into this world and not come back to church. I don't want you to live an unholy life. And that's why we're all here, to encourage one another, and it ought to be a source of joy for us. Well, I don't want you to waver. I want you to keep on obeying God. I want you to keep on keeping on. And we are here to encourage one another. As Christians, we're also here to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. We're here to offer up sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise to God. Whenever we come together and have services, we're here to praise God through song, through testimony, through preaching. We offer up those spiritual sacrifices to God. We don't offer up literal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices to God. That's why we're here. Boy, that ought to be a source of comfort. We have our own little community right here within Grace Fellowship Baptist Church to encourage one another in the faith as spiritual sacrifices. The people of God must be a source of joy to one another, helping one another and serving one another. The people of God ought to be a source for each other. Number two, the preached word of God and the assembly of God should be a source of joy to the Christian. Whenever you come to church, you say, man, all right, we get to hear some preaching. Man, that's great. Because David, when he wrote this, man, he says, we're going up, the tribes of the Lord are going up to the testimony of the Lord. You know what the testimony is? That's the law, that's the commandments, that's what the Bible has to say, that's what the Word of God has to say right there that he was talking about. And he says, man, we're going up, and I'm thankful about it because I get to hear some preaching. I get to hear some public reading of the Word of God. That's what David was saying. Hey, he said, hey, we're all getting together. We're going to come down here. We're going to assemble, and we're going to hear the public proclamation of the Word of God. And I am thankful, and I am joyful that I get to hear the Word of God being preached. Is the Word of God, the preached Word of God, a source of joy for you here this evening? Are you thankful that you get to hear the preaching of the Word of God? The judgment that he's talking about here in this text, verse number 5, thrones of judgment. There was judgment there. That tells us that the Word of God tells all of those who come into the house of God what is right, what is wrong, how to live their lives. And especially as a Jew, boy, they read the Old Testament. It governed their lives. And as we come into the house of God and we hear the preaching of the Word of God, boy, it ought to be a source of joy for us. Telling us how to live and what to do right and what to do wrong. They did it with joy and thanksgiving in their hearts. There ought to be a joyful anticipation that we get to come to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God, the public proclamation of the Word of God. Are you thankful that you get to come to church regularly? Because some people on this planet do not have that luxury. Go over to China, go over to all these other communist countries, they don't have that luxury. They're hiding somewhere. They're in hiding or they're in a dark place, assembling together. But we have a great opportunity here in the United States of America. What is preaching? Preaching is the public proclamation of what the Word of God has to say. Amen. That's what it is. Preaching is not entertainment. I know that's hard for us as Americans to comprehend because we are so entertainment driven in the United States of America. So entertainment driven. Everything, almost everything that we do is entertainment driven. We have entertainment all the time. We have entertainment on our phones. We have entertainment when we go to the restaurant. We have entertainment at our homes, everywhere. And sometimes we can get wrapped up in that and can come to the mindset, come to church and think, hey, well, this is another entertainment venue for us here. But preaching is not entertainment. We are not here to be entertained. That is not what preaching is. The preacher is not an entertainer or a source of amusement. And if he is, you're in the wrong church. You need to find a place that is not just for entertainment. Preaching is the public proclamation of the Word of God. Preaching is the God-ordained way by which people are saved. People are not saved apart from the preaching of the Word of God. You have to have preaching. God chose preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. That's how important that God believes that preaching is. That's what he chose for people to be saved by. Read another story about Charles Spurgeon. One day he went into Albert Hall, and that's a big concert hall over there in England. He went in there, and they didn't have big sound systems. They didn't have microphones. Big concert hall. He went in there. He was going to warm his voice up to preach. He got ready to preach. Nobody was in the concert hall, so he thought. He went into the concert hall and he started trying to warm his voice up, and he said he just kept repeating this same verse over and over again. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's all he did. And he was just warming his voice up. Later on, he found out that there was a painter in Albert Hall who was painting. He got under conviction and became saved because he heard him saying that verse over and over again. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All of us can be preachers. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit and speak it to someone else. You can publicly proclaim your testimony about the Lord and the gospel. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It ought to be a source of joy because of what it accomplishes in the hearts of sinners when it is applied by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the source of our salvation, is preaching. Preaching tells us what's right and what's wrong. It tells us what is the mind of God to man. Preaching, is it a source of joy for you? Preaching is the God-ordained means of sanctification in the Christian life. How do you and I grow and get the sin out of our life and become more holy and live more holy and more righteous? By preaching. That's what God chose. That's the reason that we come to church. We can be more Christ-like. We can get the sin and the ungodliness out of our lives by going to church and hearing preaching. You can't get it any other way. You have to hear preaching. You must hear preaching. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That could be a man or a woman, either one. How are we going to get right with God and get the sin out of our lives and live in holiness to God? It's through the preaching of the Word of God, and that's what God chose. Again, Paul, a few verses later, next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because we need it. We need it for sanctification. That's the God-ordained means by which we get right with God and we live the Christian life. You cannot do it without it. You can't. You can't miss church for weeks and days and months and years and think, man, I'm still right there. I'm still right there. No, you're not. You're not growing. Amen. You're not growing. You're not being sanctified. Amen. Come on. Not being sanctified. It matters what kind of attitude that you and I bring to the house of God to hear the Word of God preached. It matters. Amen. It matters. Paul the Apostle said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds and lives of every believer. And Paul said, don't quench it. Don't put it out. Do you know how you put out the Spirit of God and quench the Spirit of God? The next sentence. Despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. You know what that means? You count the preaching of the Word of God as worthless. Oh man, that's worthless to me. I don't need to hear that. Despise it. Take it or leave it. You know what you're doing? Quenching the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart, working in your mind, working in your life, and you quench the Spirit of God by the attitude that you and I can bring to the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching is a serious thing. The Word of God is a serious thing. Amen. Instead, we must be thankful and joyful. Hey, it ought to hit us sometimes. Amen. It ought to convict us sometimes. And thank God that it does. If it didn't, boy, there's something wrong with us. The third and final source of joy, and the most important, is the presence of the Prince of Peace in the house of God. Verse number 5 says, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. For Israel there was joy because the throne of David was present in Jerusalem. The throne of David is here. You know what it means if the throne of David is there? Well, David's probably there too. So they were happy that the king was there, that the throne was there. Boy, we get safety. We get security because the king's there. Oh, we get comfort because the king is there. There's authority there. He's going to lay down the law. There's not going to be any question about anything that's going on inside of Jerusalem because the king is there. You know what I'm glad about in the house of God? It's our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Our Savior, our authority. He brings comfort. He brings peace to us because He is here. He is our authority. David was a picture and a type of Jesus Christ in many ways. David was a shepherd. Jesus Christ is the bishop and shepherd of our souls. David was a king ruling from Jerusalem. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he will be the king that will rule from Jerusalem. Right now, he's pictured as seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He rules and reigns in the hearts and minds of believers. David was called a man after God's own heart. Jesus Christ is here among us. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Amen. Jesus Christ is there. The greater David showed up 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ rules and reigns. Our source of joy in the house of God and our joy in our hearts ought to be Jesus Christ. That's the reason that we're here. We're not here because of me. We're not here because of anything else. We're here because of Jesus Christ. If it was not for Jesus Christ, close the doors and go home. Jesus Christ is the reason that we're here. The Holy Spirit lives inside of each and every one of us to lead us and guide us and direct us, the Spirit of Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ lives inside of every believer. That's the source of our joy. That's the source of our happiness. He's here with us. But does he have the preeminence? I want Jesus Christ to have the preeminence. Does he have the preeminence in your life? Does he have the preeminence in your home, in your marriage, in your life? Does he have the preeminence? I want him to have the preeminence in this place. Again, when the first missionaries went to Japan, they were going to translate the book of John into Japanese, and they hired this man to do it. And after a while, this man became agitated and restless. And finally, he burst out with this question. He said, who is this man about who I've been reading, this Jesus? You call him a man, but he must be God. You know, that's why he has the preeminence here in this church. It's because of who he is. He's God. He's God. A lot of people don't believe that. They believe, oh, well, you know, he's a good teacher. He's a good man, but, you know, we're not going to go that far. We're not going to say that he is God. Yeah, he's God. He's the Lord of glory. He's our authority. He's the king. We must obey his word. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We're like, well, you know, we don't have to obey that. We don't have an option of obeying the word of God. That's not true. He is the Lord. It's not a take it or leave it situation. No, we must follow Jesus Christ. He commands his people to follow him. That's why he has the preeminence. A lot of the disciples that followed Jesus Christ back in his day didn't have the same attitude that most Christians have today. We have to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must be central, not just because of who he was, but because of what he did. Because he died on the cross for our sins. Because he did what no one else could do. He lived a sinless life. Amen. And he died on the cross for our sins in our place. He took our punishment on the cross. He was raised from the dead 3 days later. Amen. That's why he must have the preeminence. Does that bring you joy? Because he is our security. Amen. And when we come together in this place, and when we worship the Lord, it's because of Jesus Christ, because he is here with us. He is the central focus in our preaching, in our singing, in our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's not just another entertainment venue for us, but it ought to be the source of joy. Final observation I want to make. The attitude that we bring to church says a lot about what we are most concerned about. And I looked at what David was saying here and what he was most concerned about. And he was glad about the family and the friends that he had there. He was most concerned about them. You know what it says?
whenever we don't come to church like we could have. I'm not saying if you're sick or working or something like that, but if you could have come to church, but you didn't. Or you bring an attitude that is not right. You bring an attitude of a bad attitude, bitterness, something like that. You know what it's saying? It's saying we don't really care about our brothers and sisters. We don't really care about the Lord as much as we ought to. You know what it's about? It's about me. It's me. You know, I need my time. I want to hold on to that attitude that I have. I don't care about anybody else. It's just me. David didn't have that attitude. The house of God is important for the sake of your brothers and sisters in Christ. He says in verse 7 to 9, he says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." You know what David was most concerned about? The people inside the city walls of Jerusalem. He's saying, I want those people to prosper. And that's why I'm here. He says, "Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, I will seek thy good." You know what he was saying? Why I'm here? Because I'm seeking your prosperity. I'm here because I'm seeking your good. I want you to prosper. I want you to go forward. That's what he was concerned about. He says, man, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to Jerusalem because I want to help those people out there because I love them. I love them. You know what we ought to say about going to church? We think, oh, it's just a menial task and who cares if I'm there? Don't matter. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Think of your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're there, and hey, they need you. They're looking forward to seeing you, and it's an encouragement. Let's seek the prosperity of one another and serve one another. Hey, I want to seek your good. I want you to grow, and I want you to want me to grow as well. Let's all grow together. Let's seek the prosperity of one another. Because, hey, it's a cruel, crummy, ugly world out there, and we have one another. Let's lean on one another and help one another.